Have you ever had a compulsion? And that compulsion just ends up even when you're caught and in prison. You keep on doing it? Well, today we're going to go over Thomas Eugene Creech.
We here at Angry Me Production want to thank our sponsor, Mobile Notary Mindy. She's certified with the National Notary Association. She's also bonded and E&O insured. She offers a wide range of services, including wills, powers of attorney, medical documents, healthcare proxies, living wills, certification of trust, assignment of personal property, HIPAA waivers, advanced healthcare directives, and 99 verification. You can find her on Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram at Mobile Notary Mindy. You can also visit her webpage at TexasMobileNotaryMindy.com. That's TXMobileNotaryMindy.com. Thank you so much, and enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen of all ages, boys and girls, thank you for tuning in to yet another episode of Angry Me Production. We appreciate you coming in and letting us be a part of your lives. Week in and week out. We hope to do our best to present you with something that your eardrums delight in. Whether you're looking at us on YouTube or Rumble, or listening to us on Spotify, Google, or Anchor, or any of the other podcast services that we are currently on or trying to get on, we thank you. And if you don't mind, at the end of every episode, stop by, leave us a comment, leave us a like. If it asks for 5 stars, we'll take 5 stars, even if you don't like us. 5 stars are what it's all about. With that being said, we hope you enjoy our attempt to make our advocation our vocation. Ladies and gentlemen, let the games begin.
Welcome, angry faithful. Yes, today we're going to go over Thomas Eugene Creech. It's not that really far gone from what the title is. Murder still happens in prison systems. It's pretty much a confined smaller city, if you look at it that way. But let's begin. Creech was born September 9th, 1950 in Hamilton, Ohio. He grew up in an unstable household where his parents frequently argued with one another, eventually leading to a divorce. Creech was left to live with his father, whose years later would die from unclear causes right in front of him. At that time, he claimed to have attacked the male nurse that was tending his father and proclaimed that he's the one that caused his father's death. Next few years, Creech's life was difficult to verify, as it was interwoven with hearsay, and as they were interwoven with hearsay and his own uncorroborated claims. From what little can be defined, definitely confirmed, he ran away from his hometown and became a drifter, traveling frequently cross country. On December 11, 1969, he was sentenced to a 2 to 50 year prison term for unarmed robbery. He was paroled in 1971. In 1973, he married 17-year-old Tomstad Lorraine White of Boise, Idaho, who allegedly became a participant in at least one of his murders. She was eventually moved to a psychiatric hospital in Salem, Oregon, where she subsequently committed suicide. In a letter that Creech sent to KIVI-TV decades after the fact, he claimed that his wife had been raped by a gang of men and then thrown out a window, causing her deliberate physical and mental illness that were primarily contributors to her dissension and the end of her life. On August 22nd, 1973, he broke the conditions of his parole by allegedly stealing 13 cartons of cigarettes in Portland. The charges were dropped after he was admitted to a psychiatric hospital for mental evaluation. Creech was housed in an open world and was described a model patient during his short stay. During the release, only a week later, after it was determined that he had not suffered any kind of mental illness, he then moved back to Portland, where he found a job as a sexton. Now, a sexton is a person that just takes care of a church. And he did this at St. Mark's Espanola Church. He later quit his job after a body of a man was found in the living quarters. Shortly thereafter, he and his new girlfriend, 17-year-old Carol Sperling, would move to Idaho. You know, there's two different ways to say Carol. One's Carl, one's Carol. If it's a woman, it's Carol. And Carl. And it mixes me up every freaking time. But anyways, I digress. All right. In November 6, 1974, Critch and Sperling were hitchhiking in Ohio in Lewiston south to Dolly, where a 1956 model Buick Century operated by two house painters, 34-year-old Edward Thomas Arnold and 40-year-old John Wayne Bradford, picked them up. Along the way, Critch pulled out a rifle and shot both of them in the head. Then, burying the bodies alongside Highway 55 in Valley Country near Donnelly, north of Cascade. Their bodies and blood-splattered car were found the next day. In the meantime, Critch had befriended a 26-year-old named Gene Alvin Hillby, who later agreed to bury the rifle at his behest, unaware that it was a murder weapon. 2 days later, after the murders, after Critch was postposed as a suspect in two additional murders in Oregon, and the supposedly sending death threats to the newly elected Colorado Senator Gary Hart, he and Sperling were arrested in Glen Ferry in Elmore County by police officer Bill Hill, who had been notified that they were fugitives wanted for murder. While both of them were arraigned on murder charges, Critch was cleared as a suspect involved in the death with the death threats. Oh, he was cleared of the death threats of Gary Hart. As it determined that it was just rumors that spread from a police officer, one of Hart's campaign managers and prosecutors, briefly held at the Valley County Jail in Cascade, Chech was transferred 90 miles south of the more secure Ada County Jail in Boise. About a week after his arrest, Chech attempted to commit suicide by slashing his wrist with a broken piece of mirror, which nowadays they don't have glass mirrors in the jail. It's basically a polished piece of metal in the cells. But managed only to do minor injuries before being restrained by prison guards and moved to another cell. Hillby, the man who had buried the suspected murder weapon and had originally also been charged with a particular participating in the murders, would later release on probation after pleading guilty to hindering a murder case. In January 1975, it was decided that now 18-year-old Sperling would be tried as an adult for the two counts of first-degree murder. Catch counted to cause trouble even after its arrest. On June 16th, he attacked and injured his cellmate, William Old Fisher. During an altercation, Fisher had to be driven to the hospital with threats of facial injuries, but no further information was is available about the incident itself due to the gag order placed on the case. A month later, Chech attempted to sue the Idaho Statesman for Stephanie Hawking, just Help me out a little bit. This word is giving me...
Supposedly
violating his rights to a fair trial by publishing information on other crimes he was either convicted or suspected of, thus possibly prejudging the public against him. In August, shortly after Charles' venue from Cascade to Wallace was accepted, Chech was sent to a hospital for stitches after suffering calls from a fall out of his bunk bed in his cell and hitting his head. Someone probably flew him through the ground. That's how that happens. Anyways, it can happen, but trust me, I've been in those cells as a correctional officer. I had to put that in because I keep on forgetting that. It's like, I was in one of those cells as a worker. Anyways, it's pretty low down. It can happen sometimes when you're getting walking off on top from the top bunk to the bottom bunk and you don't have your footing good. But most of the times, good 80%, someone tossed them off the fucking top bunk. In October, it was ruled that any alleged confession in which Creech would initially had claimed was not near the murder site says that he had shot and killed two men after they pulled a knife on them and threatened to rape Spaulding could be admitted as evidence in the upcoming trial. After taking the stand at his trial in October 1975, Creech shocked the entire nation when he readily admitted his responsible to in 42 murders in nearly dozens of states. He alleged the first murder occurred when he was 17, when he drowned a friend in New Miami, Ohio. In his confession, Creech claimed he had killed a gay man in San Francisco in 1965. After running away from home, he later killed five people in Ohio. Sorry, I get those confused for some reason. I have no reason why. In contract murders while he was in the Hells Angels, later began killing people in sadistic rituals involving human sacrifice. In total, he claimed to know to know of such killings that had occurred in Vernon, Washington, San Diego, San Francisco, Malibu, California, Beaver, Ogden, Salt Lake City, Utah, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Jackson Hole, Wyoming, Missoula, Montana, and Wichita, Kansas, and another city in Colorado. He also directed the authorities to two alleged burial grounds in Los Angeles County, where he claimed they could find 100 victims, but the search only turned up with cow bones. While his confessions were shocking, authorities considered most of them to be bogus, with one officer saying that his reciting of the satanic rituals had been copied word from word from the issue from Playboy. Nonetheless, they were able to link him to the murders of nine victims in total, none of whom were killed in supposed satanic rituals. But Gordon Lee Stanton and Charles Thompson Miller in Las Vegas, Nevada, 22-year-old William Joseph Dean, the man whose body was found in the church living quarters in Portland, Oregon, and 19-year-old Salem store clerk Sandra Jane Ransberg, who was killed not long after Dean, 20-year-old Wrangling Stewart and Wrangling Stewart McKenzie near Bags, Wyoming, a 50-year-old Vivini Garrison Robinson in Sacramento, California. Among his credible victims was 70-year-old retired Paul C. Sanders, who was stabbed to death in his apartment robbery at the downtown motel hotel Tucson, Arizona, on October 23rd, 1973, Chech, who had at this time was working as a cook at El Bambi Cafe in Beaver, Utah, was later arrested for disorderly conduct and identified as the suspect after a routine police check revealed that he was wanted in for the Skanzerd murder. Chech and Thomasine White were charged with the murder. Both the pair was acquitted after only hours of deliberation. Kretsch pleaded guilty to the 1974 murder of William Joseph Dean in Portland, Oregon. Chech was also convicted of murder of Vivani Grant Robinson in Sacramento, California. He has 5 murder convictions in total. Just days before the rejection of the clemency plea in 2024, Chech was found to the true perpetrator behind the unsolved murder of Daniel Walker in San Bruno, California, in October 1974. While he was now considered a self-admitted serial killer, Kretsch continued to profess his innocence in the Arnold Bradford murders. The jury took a few days to deliberation in order to return a guilty verdict to the case due to confessing circumstances. His attorney was with the assistance of private investigator John Wickerham, sought to interview additional witnesses in order to have the conviction overturned. 5 months later, on March 25th, 1976, Kretsch was sentenced to death by hanging for the 2 murders. Dude, they still hung back then? By this time, 1976, they usually just, you know, either electric chair, and I think, when was lethal injection? I know. I'm going off the rails again, but it's okay. It just started doing lethal injection in 1982. Okay. Originally set for May 21st, his executor was pleading appeals, with Kretsch willingly offering to stand trial for some of his killings in Oregon and California. He was later been convicted of these killings, but his exact sentence is unknown. As a result, in 1976 Supreme Court ruling Gregg versus Georgia, which led to charges in the death penalty sentencing, one of Kretsch's attorneys, Bruce Robinson, sought to have his client's death sentence commuted to life imprisonment, citing that the sentence violated the state's then illegitimate death penalty statute. Robinson's strategy proved to be successful, as Kretsch's sentence was later commuted to life imprisonment. Robinson additionally petitioned for Kretsch to be freed altogether, but was unsuccessful. God, he just had so many murders, I understand that society has it to where we should have it. You have to win. That's all this Robinson guy was doing. He was trying to win. I'm sorry. Sometimes you just got to go, you know what? I accept the loss on this one, because he's a piece of shit. The guy that was doing was a piece of shit. I know I'm supposed to not say that, but the case is already done and he's convicted. He's a piece of shit. I will buy the rope. Sometimes you got to do that. Sometimes you just got to do that. Kretsch was housed in Idaho State Correction Institution, East Tacoma. He worked as a janitor in the prison despite his protest of 2 prosecutors who wanted the warden that he posed as threat, even to other inmates. Their fears were realized in May 13, 1981, when 23-year-old David Dell Jensen, a car thief who had previous altercations with Kretsch, attempted to attack Kretsch with a sock stuffed with batteries, during which the scuffle, Kretsch managed to take hold of the sock and started beating Jensen with it, repeatedly bashing and kicking his head, causing Jensen's death. Charges were with first-degree murder. He changed his plea to guilty and was sentenced to death. He asked his victim's father for forgiveness and stated his wish to be executed as he did not want to die in solitary confinement. Since his second death sentence, Kretsch had been on death row, now housed in the Idaho Maximum Security Institution, where he had he's the longest serving inmate. One of the prosecutors of the original trial, Jim Harrison, later said in an interview that he wished Kretsch would be taken off of death row, as he's considered that his case had cost the taxpayer too much money for the execution that's possibly may never happen. In 2020, Kretsch and other death row inmate Gerard Perdoza filed a federal lawsuit in which they claimed their rights were violated by the states secretly surrounding the executional protocols. The lawsuit was thrown out by U.S. District Court Judge David Nay, citing their ongoing appeals as a primary factor of why it has no current standing. On October 12, 2023, Judge Jason D. Scott signed Kretsch's death warrants, setting his execution date from November 8, 2023. On October 18th, the Idaho Commission of Pardons and Paroles announced they would delay Kretsch's execution date after they gain a request from Kretsch for commuting hearing. On January 29th, 2024, the Idaho Pardons and Parole Board deadlocked 3-3 on whether to grant Kretsch's clemency. As the vote to grant clemency was not majority, his death sentence would be upheld. Governor Brad Little, who has the ultimate authority on whether to grant clemency in the capital case, supported the decision to deny Kretsch's clemency. On January 30th, 2024, Judge Jason D. Scott again signed a death warrant setting Kretsch's execution for February 28th, 2024. Now we still got to see if he's actually going to be murdered, since it's only February 9th on this one. This case just popped up in my feed. So, but yeah, he's been on the death sentence for almost 40 years. That's what's, it's unbelievable, but it happens. But anyways, this was a case of Thomas Eugene Kretsch. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for watching. Now, goodbye.